Morning. The scripture reading this morning will be from Luke chapter 2, verse 41 through 45. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. When they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. When they found him not, they turned back to Jerusalem, seeking him.
Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Carson, for reading of that passage. And I don't know if it rings a bell with you of what it may be like to misplace a child. When my boys were very small, we had to take two cars to worship because a lot of times we had an elders meeting at 7 o'clock Sunday morning. Yeah, Bobby, 7 o'clock Sunday morning elders meetings. Not going to happen. So we'd have to take two cars, and then we'd have Sunday school and worship, and I'd preach, and we got home, and my wife said, "Where's Will?" He's the middle boy. I said, "I don't know. Where is he? I thought he was with you." She said, "I thought he was with you." We left him at the church building. I turned around, drove all the way back to the church building, and there he was, laid out on the pew, sound asleep. But we had forgotten one of our boys. That's kind of embarrassing, wasn't it? It's embarrassing to misplace a child, but as was read in your hearing just a moment ago, guess what? Well, it happened to Mary and Joseph. They had been at the Passover celebration there in Jerusalem. Jesus is about 12 years old, and when they left, again, they traveled together kind of in a caravan, and so it wasn't really totally out of the question for them to get a full day's journey away and realize they had left him. And the Bible tells us that they went back searching for Jesus. Now, I'm aware of the fact that we just celebrated a holiday where the secular world and many in the religious world remember the birth of Jesus, and that's all well and good. And we're well aware of the fact that at his birth, three wise men began searching for him. And so what I want to ask you today in light of that context, is Jesus missing? Do we need to go searching for Jesus? And in that regard, I want to ask you three questions. First of all, is he missing from your family? See, we need to start right down where we live. And I don't want to pull any punches. I say again, I just walked away from 25 years in that courthouse. I've told you repeatedly, my life's ambition when I was a little boy was to be a garbage man. Well, I made it. And that's what I have been seeing for 25 years. A 5-year-old on heroin. An 8-year-old on crystal meth. 5 teenagers sent to death row. Now 4. One's been executed for crimes they committed as teenagers. Babies having babies. And parents rejoicing in the fact that their 14 or 15-year-old daughter is having a baby, because that means they can get one more check. And that's the reality of what's out there. I read not long ago that 1/3 of all of the children born in this decade, 1/3, will probably live with a step family before they are 18. 1 out of every 3 children today is born out of wedlock. And we rejoice in it and put it on Facebook. 1 out of every 3. And the sad part is your grandchildren and mine go to school with kids like and think it's normal just to have kids. One survey wrote that 24% of today's are born that way. One-third of them, rather, are born to a teenage mother. And most of them will live in poverty. And I read things like that. I have exposed myself to stuff like that for 25 years in that courthouse. And I think, is Jesus missing? You better believe he is. Is he missing in the family? Is he missing in your family? I remember way back in school, we had to take some literature classes, and one of Tennessee Williams' plays. Sadly, there is a mentally ill woman who is in her garden in the play, and her hands are shaking. She's very, very tense. She's trying to put a puzzle together. And you can see the pain and the frustration in her face as she cries out, "The pieces don't fit together." Well, if that doesn't describe our society, I don't know what does. The pieces don't fit together. How can they? When Christ is missing from our family. And that's why the American family stays in crisis, in my judgment. Because of the absence of Jesus in the home. I love what Jesus says in John chapter 6. The disciples, they're about to leave or the audience is left. And Jesus turns to his disciples and said, "Would you also go away?" Mine an elegant translation. Jesus says, "Y'all leaving too?" And Peter, always Peter. "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." So is Jesus missing from your family? Second question. When are you going to start looking for him? This incident that was read in your hearing, again, by our standards, we think, oh, that's just, they had traveled a day's journey before they noticed he was gone. How could they get that far? How could they go that long, a whole day? But again, in that context, in the ancient Near East, they traveled in these large caravans. And it would not have been out of the question for something like that to happen. Now, here's the issue before you and me this morning. When are we going to see the need? When are we going to wake up and understand the emptiness that is out there, the loneliness that is out there, the fear that is out there? I remember when we went racing back up to the church building to find my middle son. You can't imagine the relief when I found him up here on the third or fourth row, sound asleep. He did not realize he was up there all alone. He didn't realize he was in the church building in the dark because he was by himself or because he had dozed off sleep. And I thought ignorance is bliss. And that is the blessing that God grants to children, that they're not aware so many times of things that are going on in this world because they got a mama and a daddy that love them and a pop that protects them. So when are we going to wake up? When are we going to wake up and see how far do we have to go in this nation? I say it again and again and again. So many of these horrors that are being enacted legislatively, that are being legalized. Your kids and mine and your grandchildren and mine are growing up thinking that it is normal. So when are we going to be aware of the... How far are we going to go before somebody says, "Wait a minute, stop. Look. Listen, how far did Mary and Joe... Before somebody said, "Wait a minute, we need to turn around because the way we're going is just not working." Some of you may have heard the historical figure Sir Walter Scott. And I found a number of years ago his last words that were written in his diary were these words. Tomorrow we shall. That's it. He died that day. He never got to see tomorrow. He never not got to know another New Year's Day. What do you mean tomorrow? And everything he ever hoped for, everything he'd ever dreamed about was gone. And James told us all about this a long time ago, didn't he? That we don't go bragging about tomorrow. We don't brag that tomorrow we're going to go into a such and such a city and we're going to spend a year there and we're going to buy and sell and get gain. Because what is your life? It's a vapor that appears for a little while and then it vanishes away. I thought about that verse this morning when I drove over from Columbiana, like many of you saw as well, intense fog. You could cut it with a knife, but guess what? It's vanished away. And that's exactly the analogy that James uses, because day in and day out, they could see what they called a morning cloud that blew in from the Mediterranean Sea. But it would hit that hot, arid, Near Eastern sky and it would just vanish. And that's what James says about your life and mine. It's here, it's real, you can see it, you can touch it, but it vanishes away. And because of that limited time that we have, I ask people, when are you going to start? Sir, the parable that we've been studying on Sunday morning from Matthew 25 about preparing for that wedding. And the Bible says that the door was shut. I've illustrated before, and I thank you for your patience. I used to hear my daddy say this when I was a kid, and I hadn't been preaching but a few months before I could say it, and that is that there were people that are dead this hour who heard me preach the last sermon they ever heard. No, the preaching wasn't that bad, and that's not what killed them. That's not what I'm saying. But the frailty and the brevity of life is such that we do not know what, if any, time left we have. So why would somebody put off looking for Jesus? They turned around and they went back. And then here's the interesting question. Bottom line, heart of the message, don't miss this if you miss everything else. Where'd they find it? And in the 21st century, in the most complex society in which man has ever existed, where are we going to find him? Where do we find Jesus if we're searching for him? Well, in one sense, of course, the answer is everywhere. I've heard some folks, and this goes back to the 60s and 70s, saying, oh, we need to find him in nature. And I'm sure there's some truth to that. I've tried to convince myself that hunting and fishing was and Bobby right there with me, in fact, I named my hunting camp conference. So that when somebody called the church building looking for me, my secretary would say, he's in conference. Well, we look for Jesus. We look for Jesus in nature, and that's all fine and good. But I'm aware of the fact that so many times people find Jesus in crisis. And there's nowhere more appropriate for us to find Jesus than in crisis. I remember one of our brethren reporting way back in the early 90s in the first desert storm that one of the military chaplains was one of our brethren. And on Christmas Eve, wouldn't you know it, Christmas Eve 1990, 28 soldiers put down their weapons and their burdens, and 28 of them were baptized into Christ in the Saudi desert. They baptized them in water. 28 who were in basically the middle of combat, not knowing if what tomorrow's going to bring. And they said yes to Jesus, who said yes to the cross. Well, guess what? We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. And just like they went searching for Jesus in this passage, these soldiers went searching for Jesus in a Saudi desert. And I'm aware of the fact that many, many, many people find God under such circumstances. Circumstances of great stress, circumstances of great heartache, circumstances of great concern. And how far better it would be if we could face the vital issues of life as Christians before the crisis arises. But in either case, where are we going to find him? When are we going to find him? I submit to you this morning that many, many, many people find Jesus just where Joseph and Mary found him, in his father's house. You see, it's in a community of faith, of people that love God, that have gathered together, that many, many, many people find Jesus. And you know what? That's okay. That's why we're here. Because this is where God can be found. This is where God can be found by people who are searching. As many of you know, I have a granddaughter who has a terminal disease. We're planning on her birthday in a couple of weeks, because they told us she probably would not make her first birthday. And her mother shared something with me about the wonders of infant children, what they were doing at a particular nursery in a hospital. And I don't know about you, but I've shared with you before, I've been in some gut-wrenching situations. But it takes all the courage I can muster to go to Children's Hospital and walk past that nursery and hear all of those crying babies, sometimes crying all of them at once. But this particular nursery in this hospital found something that would soothe all the children, and all the babies would almost stop crying at once, because they would begin to play the sound of a mother's heartbeat. And the sound of a mother's heartbeat would soothe those newborn infants. And I'm so glad that the Supreme Court has reversed Roe versus Wade, because it proved what we had believed all along, that life begins at conception. And I'm so glad that in a nursery, in a hospital of wonderful people, they found a way to soothe the distress of those babies by playing a mother's heartbeat. Now, I'm aware of the fact that as adults, we can't hear the heartbeat of God. But we can be around God's people. We can rejoice in the singing. We can hear the sounds of these children as they sing. We can see and listen to their voices as they go up and down our halls, because they're telling us, literally, this is where we come to find Jesus. This is why we are here. And that is to find Jesus. And that's why it's altogether fitting that in an audience like this, we extend an invitation. That if you're out of Christ, if you've never put him on in baptism, that you'd do that today. That you'd find Jesus today. Well, maybe you're struggling and you're hurting, and there's pain in your life, and there's an emptiness. And like Mary and Joseph, you need to turn around and go back. You need to turn around and go back and find what you misplaced a long time ago. In either case, we'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. We invite you to come while we stand, while we sing. Matt'll lead us.
Turn and listen, stay and hear. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, lean upon your dear Lord's breast. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, come and then his loving, tender voice obeying, bear his yoke, his burden take. Find the yoke his hand is on you laying, light and easy for his sake. Ye and are heavy laden, lean upon your dear Lord's breast. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, come and I will give you rest.